club.
Here we go.
Because the run home just got a little bumpier.
You cannot be serious.
I've got to see you every friggin' week.
There's got to be an investigation into this.
This is the Triple M Rush Hour with MG.
And another weekend of footy in the books, MG. Some very talkable performances coming yesterday.
Jumping kick to the left wing. Johnston takes it five out. Then he throws a miraculous pass to Gagai. Then a brilliant pass to Marshall. What a try. Oh, you can't defend that. Oh, 2-point field goal attempt. This could be history.
Seconds back to DCE. He has a shot.
He got it.
With 2 seconds to go. Manly win 13-12. Brimson's gone right through. He's got support too. Goodbye. He gets the ball back inside to Herman. And Herman will score. What a try. Gold Coast.
The crowd is standing up. It's 7 minutes gone. For Tommy, this is a wonderful touch. What an atmosphere. There's now the hammer. Gets some open space and he runs down the left wing. This is great. Now a little chip kick for himself. Turns Laurie around. Regains it. Laurie brings it down. But the got there. That is one of the tries of the season. Clune goes through Duffy on the inside. Dragons score. Dragons win. What an upset.
How good was the commentary from the Triple M boys on the weekend? Well, I got 5 from 8. I got 5 from 8. Manly over the Warriors, I didn't pick that. Cowboys over the Tigers, I didn't pick that. But we saw history. We saw the first 2-point field goal, which was fantastic. And given the circumstances of the weekend, we had our little reunion on Friday. So it was just a great weekend of rugby league, Liam.
Outstanding. Well, let's get stuck into the big talking points that came out of yesterday's game.
What's cracking?
The scene was set at Leichhardt Oval yesterday, MG. The beautiful conditions. Western Suburbs icon Tommy Radonikis having passed away. The club retiring the number 7 jersey for the game. A nice little ceremony by Luke Brooks walking it out in the middle of Leichhardt Oval. And then they turned out that performance, eventually going down 34-30. But that 40 minutes of football, MG, they'd want that back.
Yeah, it was shocking, to be honest. Again, given the circumstances of the day with the tribute to Tommy at Leichhardt Oval, which is a hallowed turf of the West Tigers, playing against the team down the bottom of the ladder, whose marquee man was supposed to come back yesterday, but got ruled out the day before, Jason Taumalolo. The stage was set for a shellacking, but it was supposed to be the Tigers over the Cowboys, not the other way around. That first half of footy was the worst half of footy I've seen this year by any team. By any team. They cut through the Tigers like a hot knife through butter on 5 or 6 occasions in that first half, and it was evident, really evident after 5 or 10 minutes that one team had come to play and one team hadn't. And that's a real, real concern if I'm Madge McGuire. That's a concern because I want play. If I don't pick the team who are going to apply their services to what I wanted them to do, they're going to take me down with them. So he's got to pick players who he knows are going to give him some effort. Because that effort was shocking yesterday. That was shocking. The smiles on the Cowboys' faces, the fun they were having. The Tigers didn't want to be there.
He was fairly terse and short in his post-match press conference as well. But I feel like we've already heard this sort of a Madge McGuire in 2021. I feel like we've already heard I need to swing the axe. I need to find players that want to play. How many times can he go back to the well? I mean, how deep is the West Tigers list?
I don't know.
Who can he actually drop from this side?
Oh, he can drop a lot of players. He can drop whoever he wants. I suppose the first person is their halfback who's had a great 10 years at the Tigers. But sometimes a change of scenery is exactly what you need. A change of scenery. I mean...
Well, Michael Chamis's report in the Sydney Morning Herald that Luke Brooks is on the out and he's on a reported $900,000 a year.
Well, here's an idea. Why don't South and Tigers swap their halfbacks next year?
Would South want Luke Brooks?
Oh, I think he'd go good there. I think he'd go fantastic there. He needs a new identity. His identity at the moment, when he was at his best, he had Tedesco, he had Moses around him, he had his roommates. Ever since they've gone, he got halfback of the year 1 year, but I thought this year with no Benji, no Harry Grant, that this team would be his, but it's not. It's far from it. Their forwards yesterday were just cumbersome. They were, the Cowboys players looked like they were playing for Australia. in a green and gold jersey. That's how, that's or an Origin jersey. That's how intense they were. But the Tigers weren't. So it's time for Madge to really wield the axe on the players that he thinks aren't going to be there long term and fix this problem before it festers.
Yep. On the other side of the coin, MG, the performance by St George Illawarra yesterday against the previously undefeated Parramatta Eels, they got it done 26-12. They're 4-1 after five rounds for a team that nobody, given the off-season and pre-season they put themselves through and the injuries and the recruitments and all the rest of it. They are 4-1 heading into round six. And Matt Dufty is just crawling up the New South Wales fullback pecking order.
Yeah, he's only about six on the pecking order right now. They've got Tedesco and all these other guys and Pappenhausen. Look, at very similar games, both Sunday games. Two teams turned up, two didn't. The Tigers didn't turn up, Parramatta didn't turn up, St George did. And it was 18-0 at halftime, and by then that was all she wrote because the Dragons were in fantastic form. They're playing a really, really good brand of footy under Hook Griffin. I love what they're doing. I love Klune was good yesterday. So we spoke about Klune maybe being a swap with Maguire. Well, I'll be having second thoughts about that because this kid can play.
Yeah.
Paul Vaughan is back to his origin form in the centres. Tarek Sims is back to his origin form. I mean, at the moment, if you're picking a team tomorrow, Tarek Sims would be my side. He'd be either in the second row or on the bench. So would Paul Vaughan. They'd both be my side, and so would Zach Lomax.
Well, I mean, Freddie's got some thinking to do because there are some New South Wales forwards putting their hand up. But as I say, the Parramatta Eels and the St George Illawarra Dragons both sitting 4-1 heading into round six. Terrific performance from Hook and his men yesterday, and they're doing that all without their captain, Ben Hunt. No Cam McInnes as well. It's a fantastic story, one that we hope keeps rolling on. MG, there are other stories we need to get to.
What's cracking?
I guess the other big story off-field, MG, of the weekend is that Michael Chamis again reporting that Craig Fitzgibbon has agreed to a three-year deal with the Cronulla Sharks commencing in 2022. Light on detail in part. It didn't seem like it was confirmed that he'd be senior coaching, just that he'd agreed to a deal, but I don't know quite what other position Craig Fitzgibbon would move from the Roosters to the Sharks for, other than to be the senior coach.
Yeah.
Which leaves John Morris out in the cold.
Yeah, well, he's been a busy man, Michael Chamis, hasn't he? I know we're talking to Shane Flanagan later on in the show, but I, for the life of me, I don't understand this one. I don't know what he's got to do. I know that I watched Matty John's show last night, and I saw Sean Johnson basically being asked off the top of the show exactly his thoughts on it, which he said this.
I look at the facts, bro. I don't know how you can have a coach that has been thrown in the deep end right from the start, had to take over a difficult situation with Flanagan leaving, just got after it, taken his side to the finals the last couple of years, and then find himself in the position that he's in right now. It's certainly disappointing.
Look, if you want him to be the coach, well, that's fine. Tell him that. If you don't want him to be the coach, tell him that as well. He shouldn't walk out of the SCG on Saturday night after getting beaten by the Roosters, and his wife rings him to say that there's reports on Fox and on the Telegraph that Craig Fitzgibbon is going to be the coach for the next 3 years. That's just poor. That's poor management from the Sharks, in my opinion, because I think this guy has earned the right to sign off with dignity, not to be thrown under a bus. He got the last two seasons, he's got the Sharks to the eighth and eighth, and this year who knows what's going to happen this year. He's probably gone, but I just think they've handled it the wrong way. If they want collateral damage, well, they're going to get it because the fans won't be happy with the treatment of Bomber Morris, because this guy, he's played over 300 games, for a few clubs, but he's been instrumental in a lot of the first graders, these young first graders who are playing their 10th or 20th first grade game in the Sharks jersey right now. He's been instrumental in getting them there.
Mm.
So he deserves better. And I think, look, there could be a bit of a rainbow to this story. If he does, get the sack from the Sharks and Fitzgibbon does take over, well, I think Trent Robinson at the Roosters is a fan. So he might get that job in a touch of irony. They might just swap jobs. I know Bomber Morris doesn't want that, but he won't be lost to the game. He's a great coach.
Do you know the other place that might suit at least his skill set as you just outlaid, MG, for the last couple of years? Somewhere like the Dragons, which has got this amazing nursery of talent and hasn't necessarily come on in leaps and bounds over the last couple of years. To send the pathway king, as you dubbed him, down there.
Yeah.
get the Pathway King to pick out these, like the young twins that you're a big fan of, you know, get him to help
Faye guys.
The Faye Guy brothers, get him to bring these kids on, make them first graders under this new tutelage of Anthony Griffin down there. Look, it's not official yet. There are reports that Morris's management was meeting with the club today to get a bloody please explain, which I think they're entitled
yeah,
to.
At the time of the show, we still were none of the wiser, but I just put that aside. You know, I think by the sounds of he's a dead man walking as far as the coach goes. So we've got to presume that he's out.
Seems
stiff.
Ear.
And that's just, you're right. It seems stiff and it is stiff because he deserves better. And I'm disappointed in the way it's been handled.
Other side of the coin, Craig Fitzgibbon, if he is the man to coach that side for the next 3 years, do you think that's, he seems to be the one that all the clubs wanted.
Yes. Well, it is. He seems to be the one that all clubs want, and the Sharks could have gotten their man. I've got nothing against Craig Fitzgibbon whatsoever. I've got nothing against anyone who's trying to get a job in and look after their future, because I think Craig Fitzgibbon is a man who will be a career coach. And good luck to him. Well, you know, he's been fantastic at the Roosters. And if you ask Trent Robinson how much of a part he's played with him, he'll say it's been a profound amount. He's been a part of the Roosters. So look, yeah, everyone speaks about him in glowing terms as a future coach, and I've got no doubt he'll do the job, but I'm really disappointed about what's happened to John Morris.
And I wonder whether Craig Fitzgibbon, I know he's getting paid some decent cash to join, but I wonder whether he's at all dirty with the way the club has handled his arrival. Muddying the welcome mat, the red carpet, if you will, by the way they've treated John Morris.
You know what? It's a very good point you make, because he's a very upstanding type of bloke, is Craig Fitzgibbon, and I would say that he would be a little bit peeved at the way they've handled all this. They could have been handled better.
Well, we will find out what Shane Flanagan, the premiership coach, or the only premiership coach Cronulla's ever had, he's going to join us to talk through this and more very shortly.
NRL Magic Round, Brisbane. 3 days of action-packed excitement at Brisbane Suncorp Stadium this May.
Gather round, boys and girls. It's time for the Triple M Rush Hour with MG's Poof! Just like magic.
Ho, 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 it's magic.
Poof!
Yes, MG.
Oh, yeah, what about it?
This is huge. This is one round, one ground, 16 teams, 8 games, a weekend of action live from Suncorp Stadium. And we want to send people there.
We want you to come with us.
That is going to be incredible. We're heading up there and we want to bring you with us. You can register at triplem.com.au and you and a friend could score yourself flights, accommodation, and tickets to all 3 days. Not 3 games, days.
You know what it is? I call it my golden ticket.
Your golden ticket?
Yes.
Yeah. Tickets.
Golden tickets.
Why don't you call it your sunshine ticket? Because we're going to the Sunshine State.
I might call it my Suncorp ticket.
Okay.
We're going to Suncorp Stadium. You get the jizz.
Why don't we just call it the magic ticket? Because
we
are giving you the chance to come to Magic Round with us. You can discover the magic of Brisbane at Suncorp Stadium's NRL Magic Round this May. There's plenty of fun to be had in Brisbane before and after kickoff, MG. And we are going to explore some of that fun while we're up there. We're going to drag producer Charlie along with us as well. He assures us he knows all the hotspots of Brisbane.
Charlie does know all the hotspots of Brisbane. He's Mr. Vegas, Bris Vegas, up there.
And in case he doesn't, we might go and get, you know, Gordy Tallis to show us around.
The Raging Bull or Wendell. I'm sure that one of the boys can tell us all the best things to go to at Brisbane. There's a lot of the good things to go to. It's a fantastic city.
We're going to have a lot of fun up there. And if you want to join us, triplem.com.au. Register. We're going to kick off the Just Like Magic quiz next week. So get in early. Just get your registration done and you won't have to think about it. MG, we're heading into round 6 this weekend, and I mean, the pressure that the various coaches are under, it sometimes people forget just how hard it is to actually win a comp as a coach.
Oh, it's a hard job being a coach, mate. Like, I was reading something this morning on John Morris, how he found out leaving the SCG after the loss on Saturday, and his wife rang him in tears saying that they're talking about you being axed. It's a hard job.
Our next guest
knows all about that.
Yeah, and he knows exactly what it takes to win a comp. Cronulla Premiership coach Shane Flanagan joined us. G'day, Shane.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Mate, we're fantastic, Flanagan. Look, we thought we'd have a chat to you because you seem to be the man on the peripheral at the minute. You know, you coached the Sharkies, you were assistant coach at the Dragons, you got your young bloke playing first grade, you're doing some stuff for Fox Sports, you're the man of the minute. And we just kind of wanted to have a chat to you about what your thoughts are on all these clubs and how they're going at the moment. In particular, Johnny Morris. Let's start with him.
Yeah, well, it's for me, it's a bit disappointing. Like, if you look at his coaching, the Sharks aren't going that bad. You know, I know they played okay in the first half against the Roosters and got run down in the second half, but, you know, that coach could hardly be blamed for that performance. You know, the players probably need to have a good look at themselves. And, you know, he's got the team in the eight the last 2 years prior to that. And, you know, for me, being, you know, a Sharks fan and I live in the area, and I think he's done a reasonable job, you know. They haven't been a top four, and I know the club, that's what they pride themselves on. But, there's been some difficult circumstances and some good players out of form or injured over that period. And, you know, you just got to, sometimes you need a little bit of luck. And, you know, to be honest, I feel really, I feel a bit sorry for Johnny Morris because, you know, the club hasn't really told us why they're getting rid of him. You know, they trotted out an excuse that they want to be a top four club and John can't attract the players to the club that they need to. I don't cop that. So, you know, I want to know why they're going to get rid of him.
Flano, we spoke just on the top of this about you being in the furnace as a coach. You won a comp. Now you're looking from the outside looking in. Look, on this show for the last 3 weeks, I've been demanding that Sharks give John Morris an extension. I don't know how much better he can do with the roster he's got at the minute. He's got him to the eight the last 2 years. He's got him playing in with spirit this year, with his hands basically tied behind his back. What do you think if Craig Fitzgibbon seems to be the man next in line? What are your thoughts on Craig Fitzgibbon being the coach of the Sharkies?
I've got no problems with that. And, you know, I think sometimes a change is needed, but I still can't get my head around why they're getting rid of John Morris, to be honest, mate. You know, I know a lot of people say his hands have been tied behind his back. He's got a fair football team, and, yeah, maybe they haven't, won semi-finals. But, you know, for me, I keep going back to that point that, you know, why are they getting rid of him? I just don't understand. And if they are going in with Craig Fitzgibbon, or they're going in with another coach that, he's been around a bit and he understands what needs to be done in at our role level, but he hasn't been a first grade coach. So once you get into that seat, definitely everything changes, you need to get results straight away. And if the Sharks are saying they want to be a top four side and attract, you know, players to the club, well, he's going to be put under the spotlight straight away. So, you know, good luck to him. He's had a great career. He's been really loyal to the Roosters, but he's coming into a different kettle of fish down there at the Sharks.
Shane, can you pull back the curtain a little bit on that as a former coach and no doubt a future one as well? That process of being the senior coach and attracting players to the club, because it seems all nice in theory, and no doubt Wayne Bennett and Craig Bellamy and Trent Robinson and these guys have pulling power, but what's it like for your standard coach in trying to woo a player?
Yeah, I never really had any problem attracting players to the Sharks. You know, we went after a few players and we got a lot of them. You know, sometimes you might have to pay a little bit more than you expect, but, you know, and that's really not the coach's job. But, you know, the Sharks have always had, the ability, you know, similar to, you know, a great place to live and bring up your kids. And if you're a top four side, players want to come to your club. So no matter who the coach is, you know, I feel that if a player feels that he's going to go there and he's going to play semi-finals and he's a chance to win the competition, the elite players will come. I don't understand where the Sharks have been. You know, they've been a semi-final side since, you know, last 7 or 8 years. So, you know, attracting players hasn't been a problem. But, you know, obviously the Craig Bellamy's of the world are going to attract players. But, you know, the Sharks, I don't see it being a real problem for them to attract players at the moment. Using that as a bit as an excuse, I think.
Flano, what is your current status re-coaching? We heard earlier in the year that you might have contacted the NRL to see what is the go, what your status is.
Everything's good, MG. Spoke with Peter Valandis, and if a job becomes available, I just go and tell the NRL, and everything should be okay this year if that job wasn't come available this year. But, you know, as I said, I'm really enjoying what I'm doing now in the media and with Fox and so on. So that's really enjoyable. But, you know, I want to get back into coaching, but I need to make sure also that it's the right place and right fit for me. And, I'm sure that'll come, you know, whenever in the near future. And at the moment, enjoying the media, watching Kyle play. He's going through a tough period, but it's going to be a period that he learns a lot.
Bloody oath.
Sometimes you find out a little bit more about yourself when you getting kicked, mm-hmm. and he's down the bottom. So something that he hasn't been used to, because he's always come through sides that have won competitions and then, you know, went to the Roosters and so on. So something new for him, and he's learning a little bit. But, yeah, mate, I want to get back into it, but I just need to wait for that right opportunity to come up.
Well, MG, it sounds a bit like our old mate Nathan Brown 12 months ago. Sounds, I can see a lot of similarities there.
If you've got the bug, you've got the bug. if it's in you, it's in you. And you're born with it, honestly, because you wouldn't choose that type of work.
Hey, Shane, let's talk about your young fella, because you brought him up there. You summed it up beautifully. They're going through a rough trot at the moment. How much interaction do you have with him? I guess, do you ever put your coach's hat on with him with how they're going at the moment, or are you strictly dad mode when you're talking to Kyle?
No, I do a little bit of both, but I try not to. I mean, I just ask him how things are going. You know, he obviously still lives at home, and we've got a really good relationship, and you know, I make sure that I understand the pressures of a halfback of an NRL side are immense, and, you know, if you don't win, a lot of the time the finger gets pointed at the halfback. So, you know, making sure that, you know, he's mentally okay and he's mentally prepared and he's training hard all the time. And, you know, the results aren't a real reflection of what he's doing, that he needs to continue just to work really hard and compete really hard and all the things that got him into the NRL that he needs to keep doing. So the Bulldogs are going to turn it around, but it's, you know, probably not going to be this year. They're going to have some good players come to them next year and they'll be better again. But, you know, I'd like to see him win a few games this year and take the pressure off everyone, but they need to continue to work hard. And I just make sure that I try and support him and put the coach's hat on every now and again. I get a bit of a sense when he wants to have a chat about football from a coaching perspective rather than just a dad chat. So that's a balance.
Dad chat, I like that. Hey, the other one, of course, I mean, the Dragons, 4-1, absolutely flying, only 5 rounds into the competition. Did you see this sort of transformation on the cards when you were involved with the club last year?
No, I didn't. But that's a classic. I'm glad you asked me about that one, because that's a classic example how a coach leaves the club maybe in the right way. Like Mary probably knew his cards were marked last year, and but the club come to an agreement. Mary coached for another week, and it was a game against Parramatta at Parramatta Stadium, and they won a similar game. They won that game for Mary, and he left on a high, and then, you know, Dean Young took over for the rest of the year. But I thought it was done in the correct manner from, you know, Paul handled it really well and the club handled it really well. You know, he needed to change, and Paul knew that and the club knew that. In the end, Anthony Griffin comes in, and, you know, sometimes a change is, you know, better than a holiday. And, you know, I knew that with my time at the Sharks. You know, obviously, you know, I went out not the way I wanted to, but I was thinking about, you know, maybe it's time for me to have a spell with these boys, because I've coached them for, you know, the Wade Grahams, and then for 6 or 7 years, are they starting to get sick of me? I was asking that question of myself. So, you know, sometimes a new voice and a new approach just gives everyone a fresh lease of life. And I think that's happened down the Dragons, talking to a lot of the players down there. It's just different. So that's given them a spring, a different attitude. Then it's not saying that Mary's way was wrong, but Anthony's been different, and it's worked for him.
You say that the change is as good as a holiday, only if you stay at the Star of the Sea, but that's, you know, terrible. That's, you know, that's the only holiday we want to be at, isn't it?
What about Warriors home then?
Yeah, well, they're off home soon, so we can get back there in our penthouse, Flano. Thank God.
Hold on. I've got to stop here, because producer Charlie, when he called Shane to see if we could have a chat with us today,
yes,
Shane said, tell MG to go easy, or I'll start telling stories. Now Shane, I think we've been relatively easy, but I still want you to start telling stories. What are we talking? Off-field stuff?
Oh, there's a little bit of both, but I remember once at Campbelltown, penalty for flying, and MG was in one of those moods, his eyes were rolling around like a and he got sent off, and it was either just before half time or just before full time, and I could hear this banging and things like crashing down. I was going, what's going on? I don't think there was a locker left on the wall. Pulled everyone off.
Rebuttal, Mark?
And that's the game I got hit over the head with an umbrella too.
That's
one
right.
One of the Magpies.
Outstanding work.
Great times. I love your work on Fox, mate. Keep it up, and I'd rather be seeing you in a a coach's seat because I think you've got so much to offer as a coach. But as always, we thank you so much for your time, brother.
Thanks, boys. Been a pleasure.
Has MG been paying attention?
Massive weekend of sport outside of rugby league, MG. So we need to see if you were paying attention to the other sporting codes across the country and across the world, in fact.
Yeah, well, I spent a lot of time laying on my lounge watching golf and rugby league on the weekend. So if it's anything other than that.
Well, here's a gimme to start.
Okay.
Definitely in the water.
There are the ripples.
That is the Masters. That sounded like Xander Schauffele going into the water for a triple bogey.
It was. Now, before
and basically throwing any chance away that he had of winning it.
Yeah, who won it, MG?
It was Hideki Matsuyama, Japan. Hideki Matsuyama.
Bang, you nailed it.
And Matsuyama is Japan's first Masters champion.
And he is now the Elvis of Japan, who they reckon this win will make him an instant billionaire.
First ever Japanese male to win a major. I liked in the coverage, I was watching it this morning, Nick Faldo, who was part of the commentary team, made the prediction that Hideki will now be given the honour to light the Olympic flame when the Olympics kick off.
He is a rock star now that he's won this. The first Japanese golfer ever. And there's been some good ones before him. So good on him. He played very well.
Will Zalatoris, in his third major ever, finished runner-up. Aussie Mark Leishman finished in a tie for fifth. So
And a cool $437,000 for coming fifth. And I think Hideki got 2.1 mil for the win.
Nice bit of work. Nice bit of work. Makes me wish I'd worked harder at playing golf. All right, MG, next one. What's the sport? What's the story?
And he'll go back and have a set shot for number five.
The Giants had a victory.
But it was the Giants with a gutsy win away from home, missing half their leadership group, and they've won this by 30 points.
Needed it, MG, getting it done over Collingwood on the MCG, first win of the year. Desperately needed it, beautifully led by Toby Green in the absence of Stephen Cornelio, who kicked five, Toby the superstar. And it sets it up beautifully this weekend for the Sydney Derby, with the Swans still just travelling along undefeated. And the Giants finally getting a bit of momentum. So
yeah, it's fantastic. I love the Derby, and I think they do as well. We've spoken to a couple of Swans and a couple of Giants so far this year, and they both can't wait to play each other.
I think we might have to get Toby on this week. Toby's the man we want, producer Charlie, so make that happen, please. All right, MG, what's the sport? What's the story?
120 minutes in!
That sounds like the W League title that Melbourne Victory beat Sydney FC.
The Melbourne Victory are W League champions for just the second time.
I was at this game, MG.
A corner went in.
A corner. I was at this game, but I won't lie to you, I left because it was getting late. I had my kids. I had my 8-month-old. It was getting freezing cold on the Cogra Hill. So we left with about 5 minutes to go in regular time.
Well, that was about the 120th minute mark that the goal was scored.
And we were glad we left because we got home before the game finished.
Okay, so you watched the final at home.
Yeah, we saw the winner, Kyra Cooney-Cross, this 19-year-old emerging superstar of the game.
The new Kerr, they're calling her.
Melbourne Victory deserved to win, MG. As I would love to have seen Sydney FC triumph, Melbourne Victory with a better team, they had more chances. But the goalkeeper for Sydney FC, Heyman, she was the player of the match.
Yeah.
Regardless of the result, she was the best on the ground. She kept Sydney FC in it. So well done to Melbourne Victory. Bad luck to the Sydney FC lot. All right, last one, MG. What's the sport? What's the story?
Rushing to the water safety, his leash chewed off as he shakes this one off.
Mick Fanning, surfing.
Yes, what's the story? You've named the sport?
I just heard surfing. I'm saying Mick Fanning.
Yeah, I'm saying you've got that part right.
You're trying to get him on the show. Is there something you want to reveal that he's coming on the show?
I haven't got him on the show yet. I'd like to get him on the show.
Mick, did he save somebody's life?
No, he hasn't saved anyone's life.
Did a shark try and bite his surfboard?
He's been trying to bite it. He's coming out of retirement, MG.
Oh!
The Narrabeen Pro kicks off this week. And Mick, at 39 years of age, he's been handed a wild card for the event.
How good.
So your Penrith boy is going to be back amongst the waves. The three-time world champ's going to be down at Narrabeen competing this week.
We've got to get him on the show this week. We've got to get him on the show.
So that's why we're trying to get him. Mick's back in
the water. I'll see what I can do. I might just slide to his DMs and see what he can do with me.
Actually, that's a bloody good point. Charlie and I are working our backsides off. You and Mick are Penrith royalty.
Yeah, I'll slide into him.
He probably who sits at the right hand of who there? Who's got the throne and who's Mick doesn't live there anymore. That's the thing.
No, I'm the mayor. Yeah, he's on the council.
He's on the committee. Okay, nice. Well, if you could put a call out to your committee member Mick Fanning to get him on the show this week,
I'd love that. And good on him for coming back. He's still, I mean, surfing is that you've got to be fit as you know how fit you got to be to be a surfer. But at 39, I've seen him lately. He's looking great. He's got a beer to promote as well.
A beer to promote. I think Bolter's going right. I think they sold that for about $200 million. I don't know if he needs to promote it anymore.
He might bring some in.
Oh, that'd be nice. Actually, let's get him in studio.
Yeah. Come on, Mick.
All right, we got to get out of here because we sound like we've had a few beers. We haven't. Yeah, we haven't.
Because we're
not allowed to. It's against the codes. MG, let's get out of here. Tomorrow, Team List Tuesday. Don't forget, at Rush Hour Triple M, we will go live with the full team changes on our Instagram page just after 4 o'clock.
How quick does that come around?
It's going to be a big one tomorrow. Madge Maguire, does he ring changes? We're already hearing whispers that Anthony Milford's going to be dropped. What does the Broncos halves look like? So many changes to discuss.
And you'll find out what happens right here. As always, thank you so much for your ears. He's Liam. I'm MG. Wherever you are, stay random.
MG, we interrupt our own podcast for a very important message. We got Sydney Kings tickets to give away.
Oh, how good.
How good are the Sydney Kings? No bogey. They're still bloody awesome, though.
No worries.
We love Brad Newley. We love Craig Moller. We miss our old coach, the Texan, Will Weaver. Exactly. But we've got special tickets to the Sydney Kings for you. You can see the Kings live at Kudos Bank Arena this Thursday. Tickets are available at ticketek.com.au or...
Psst, MG here. Today's rush hour code for Hollywood seats at Sydney Kings games is... Granny Shot.
Take that code word to triplem.com.au and you could win yourself Hollywood seats to the Sydney Kings game this Thursday night.